Welcome again to Grace Community Church Wednesday night service. My name is Wade, if it's your first time tuning in online, and we're glad you're watching, and thank y'all that are here in person. I know we got a lot of people that are out of town, and we got a few people that are sick, but thank y'all for coming out, the ones that are here. Let me pray for us, and I know I'm starting a few minutes late, sorry about that, but let me pray for us and we'll get right into it. Father, I just thank you for the message that you gave me for tonight. I just pray, Lord, that you'd give me the boldness to preach it the way that you gave it to me. And Lord, I just pray that you'd open every heart and mind to receive it, God. And not only to hear it, Father, but to let it sink in. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to apply it to our lives so that we can see the fruit that comes from being obedient to you. And we'll give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory for that, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we skipped a week because of VBS, but VBS went really well. If you were here for that, that was a blast. God really showed off during that. But if you were here or if you were watching online 2 weeks ago, last time we were talking about how Jesus can help you. You know, a lot of people think Jesus can't help them or Jesus won't help them, but Jesus will help you, but we have to do things his way. You know, I think too often we come to God not to draw near to God or to get closer to God or to learn more about God, but just wanting him to help us with our problems or to fix our problems. You know, we read last week in Psalm chapter 46 and verse 1 that God is our refuge. He is our strength, and he is a very present help in time of need. But that don't mean that God is a spare tire, you know, that we just get out when we need help when we're in trouble. God don't want our relationship with him to be like that. You know what that verse is saying? It says that if we're living a life of devotion to God and living our lives with God in obedience to him, then just like a good father, he's always there to help us, you know, when things go wrong. He's not just for emergencies. God, we should be spending all our time with God, not just when we need help. When we live life the way that God intends us to, it keeps us out of most of the trouble that we get ourselves into. 2 weeks ago, when I finished the message, ever since then, for the last 2 weeks, God just kept putting King David and Solomon on my mind. And there's been a few things happen between now and then that just kept on pushing me in that direction. And it got me thinking about them. And I've been thinking a lot about them the last 2 weeks. You know, I told you about 3 weeks ago, you know, why I use Proverbs all the time. Because they're things, you know, a lot of short verses that we can use in our everyday lives. And a lot of those, you know, Solomon learned through personal experience. Some of them he learned from his dad. And some of them, you know, God just granted him wisdom because he asked for wisdom. So that's kind of what I want to talk about tonight. A lot of what we read in Proverbs, we've already heard before somewhere else in the Bible. You can find a lot of stuff in Proverbs in Isaiah. You can find some of it in Jeremiah. But most of the reference that you'll get from Proverbs, you'll find in Psalms. And I think that's because King David wrote most of the Psalms. And I think Solomon heard a lot of that stuff growing up. You know, I think his dad passed those things down to him. And I've got a few references for you. You know, we talk about Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 all the time. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. But in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. You know, we use that all the time, and that's how we should live. And I've told you a bunch of times, you know, if we just apply those two verses, you know, truly apply those to our daily lives, it does dramatically change your life. And I'm sure Solomon heard those things from King David when he was growing up. I'm sure he drilled that into him over and over and over. David says almost same thing in Psalm 37 in verses 3 through 5. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shall you dwell in the land, and verily you shall be fed. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. And commit your way unto the Lord, and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass, or direct your path. Direct your path. So that those are really close to each other. And you can see that all through Proverbs and Psalms. They just go hand in hand together. Another example is Proverbs 16 in verse 9. It says, a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And in Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24, it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Proverbs 24 and verse 16, it says, for a just man falls seven times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Proverbs 24 and verse 19, it says, fret not yourself because of evil men, neither be you envious at the wicked. And if we go back to Psalm 37 again, it says, fret not yourself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. So Psalms and Proverbs, they go hand in hand. You know, you can see a lot. You'll be reading Psalms sometimes and say, I've read that before. But you have read that before, but you read it in Proverbs and vice versa. And that just goes on and on and on. I just wanted to show you a few of those examples. And all through Scripture, it's not just in Psalms and Proverbs, but all through Scripture, it repeats itself. And that goes all the way back to Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7. You hear God talking to Cain. He says, if you do well, shall you not be accepted? And if you don't do well, sin lies at the door, and unto you shall be his desire, and you shall rule over him. And even before that, with Adam and Eve in Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17, God's telling them, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof you shall surely die. So all through Scripture, we see that all God wants from us is to be obedient. That's all he asks us to do. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be obedient. That's the only things, and to love one another. That's the only things that God asks of us, is to be obedient. And he don't do that, you know, so he can just lord over us in a bad way, so he can control us. He wants us to be obedient for our own protection. You know, his rules are not against us. They are for us. You know, a lot of people think that God's rules, his commandments, are to keep us from doing things that we want to do, and that's not the case. God's rules and God's commandments are to protect us from things that will harm us, just like he removed Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden, not to be mean to them and kick them out, but he knew if they, like Josh said Sunday, if they ate from the tree of life in that shape, they would be that way forever. And he didn't want them to be that way forever. And he don't want us to be that way forever. So his rules are not against us, they're for us. And they're there to keep us from bringing things into our lives that will harm us, or allowing things in our lives that would do us harm. And not only us, but to everybody around us too. You know, we talked a little bit last week about the promises of God and how they all belong to us if we're living in obedience to God. And just like bringing harmful things into our lives affects everybody around us, that works the same way with God's blessings. If we're living the way that God tells us to, and we're living in the promises of God, then those blessings, they also affect everybody else around us too. When we're obedient to God, his blessings flow through us, and they bless the people that are around us. I think the reason that King David and Solomon have been on my heart so much the last 2 weeks is because they both knew the Lord. They not only knew the Lord, they both talked to the Lord, and they both did amazing things for God. And they knew what God said, but sometimes even they were still disobedient to God. And I think a lot of times we beat ourselves up when we're disobedient to God. And just like them, I don't believe either one of them were intentionally set out to be disobedient to God. I don't believe that at all. And I'm not trying to say anything bad about them. I'm just saying that if the wisest man that ever lived, Solomon, you know, the Bible says he was the wisest man that ever lived in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 12. And it says, "Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like you before you, neither after you shall any arise like unto you." And King David, the Bible calls him a man after God's own heart. We can read that in Acts chapter 13 and verse 22. It says, when he had removed him, he's talking about King Saul, when he removed him. It says, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. So if the wisest man that ever lived, Solomon, and the king of Israel, a man after God's own heart, King David, can be led astray and wind up in disobedience, we can too. You know, we're not above them. So what I want to talk about tonight is, how did they get there? You know, how do we get there? I think we get complacent. You know, Solomon did good until he had finished building the temple of God, until he stopped building all the things he was going to build. He built the temple to God, and then he built his own house, and he did. You can read all the things that he built. And it wasn't until later in his life that he started being disobedient to God and got, you know, focused on things that he shouldn't be focused on. So we get comfortable in our faith, and we get complacent, and instead of staying busy on the things that we should be doing, we start slipping a little here and slipping a little there, just like they did, and we wind up, you know, getting off the path that we've been talking about. And we wind up making those compromises just like they did, and we'll look into those, and wind up being disobedient. But they both got there by not focusing on God and focusing on themselves. And, you know, if we're not serving God or serving someone else, then all we have left is ourselves. And eventually we will start paying attention to our own desires. So that's how we get there too. It wasn't that the Lord wasn't directing their steps. He was directing their steps. They just decided at some point that, I just don't feel like doing that today. And I believe that's what we do too. You know, obedience is not a feeling. It's a choice we have to make every day. You know, am I going to obey God today? Or am I going to do what I want to do today? So that is a daily choice that we make. We can see where David made his choice in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 1. It says, and it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all of Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. So instead of going to war like he should have did, you know, that was his appointed time every year to go to war. He got up that morning and he said, I don't feel like going today. So he didn't. He stayed home. And a lot of y'all know the story of David and Bathsheba. If he hadn't have been there, he wouldn't have saw what he seen. And that never would have happened if he would have been serving God the way that he was supposed to. But he made a choice that day, and he did what pleased him instead of what pleased God. So that's where David made his choice. You know, he chose not to go to war. And, you know, there's no doubt he knew what he was supposed to do. He was the king. You know, that was his duty. But he chose not to go. You know, we might not be kings or queens, but that's what we do. You know, God has plans for us too. I tell you all the time that we're all unique, and God has a plan for each of us, just like he had a plan for King David. He should have went to war. He has a plan for each of us too, if we just follow the steps that he lays out for us. A lot of times I'll sit and I'll think, you know, what would God's word look like today, or what would have happened if David would have went to war that day, like he should have? You know, I just daydream about it. There's no way I can know what it would look like, or what that would have changed. But that's just something I think about a lot. And I know I keep saying that we do the same thing, but that's what we do. You know, what if you get up on Sunday morning and you say, I just don't feel like going to church today? You know, to you, that might not seem as important as King David not going to war, but it is. You know, you get up Sunday morning and say, I just don't feel like going to church today. You know, what do you miss that God had in store for you that day? You know, what was in the message that was preached, or in the talking and the fellowship with other believers? That you might have heard that day that would have changed your life? Or what would God have done through you to change somebody else's life? Or if you have children, what blessing from God did they miss out on in children's church that would have impacted the rest of their lives because you didn't feel like going to church that day? Or maybe you were the teacher, the children's teacher, and you didn't feel like going to church that day. You know, what did they miss out on that God could have taught them through you? Or maybe you're a group leader and you just don't feel like doing group this week. You know, what are you going to miss out on? Or what is your class going to miss out on just because you didn't feel like it? Or whatever, you know, whatever the case is, somebody misses out and you miss out when we just don't show up, when we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, being where we need to be. You know, what did you miss out on? Or what did you miss out on? Or what did somebody else miss out on because you just didn't feel like doing that today? Like I said, we're not kings and queens, but we do have people around us that we impact, just like Josh said in the opening prayer. We see Solomon's choice where he started to disobey God in 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. It says, but King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. And Solomon clave to these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. So God was giving him instructions. God had clearly marked out his path and told him, don't marry these foreign women. Don't have anything to do with them. But he just got up one day, and you know, like it said, it was later in his life when he had already accomplished all these other things. He got complacent in his faith, and he compromised, and he wound up with not one wife. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And if we go on and read in verse 4, it says, for it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. So he didn't just get up one morning and marry 1,000 women. It started with one. But it also started with a choice of, I'm going to disobey God today, because he knew better. And it was a choice that he made. We read a while ago in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7 that God told Cain that sin lies at the door. You know, and nothing has changed since then. You know, I don't know how many thousands of years ago that was, but sin is still lying at the door. It lies at the door of my heart, your heart, all of our hearts. And when we make that small decision to just fudge a little bit, be lazy on Sunday morning, not come to church. You know, we opened that door that God was talking about, that he was telling Cain about. And we allow that sin into our lives. We make that choice to just stay in bed or go do something else. And that's all it takes. When we open that door, you know, we let sin in. It may not seem that important to us at the time, but it really is. Like I said, you know, Solomon didn't start out with 1,000 wives. He started with one. And I believe at our core that all of us, in one way or another, we have an addictive personality. You know, we might all have different ones, but I believe at our core we all have an addictive personality to some degree. And when we make that decision to open the door and do what we feel like, we also step out of the guidance and the direction and the self-control that the Holy Spirit gives. Self-control is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And when we open that door and we start doing things our own way, then we're no longer under the protection and the control of the Holy Spirit. And without the Holy Spirit, we don't have self-control. And all we're left with is willpower. But what good is willpower if I'm doing my will instead of God's will? You know, that'll get us in trouble every time. I'm sure the prodigal son, you know, he didn't have the pig pen in mind when he set out. He probably had maybe not good intentions, but probably not intention to wind up in a pig pen. I'm sure that wasn't his plan. But without the Holy Spirit to give us self-control, we all have the tendency to become a prodigal. All that word prodigal means is that we lack restraint in a certain area. And without the Holy Spirit to give us that self-control, we're all going to come, you know, we'll go out of control in one area or another. Like I keep saying, Solomon probably didn't set out to have that many wives. That's just incredible to me. Can you imagine that? He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And that is a perfect example of a lack of restraint. So he was prodigal in the area of women. That is a lack of self-control. You know, women, you can look at it a different way. You know, how would you like to have 1,000 husbands? That, to me, is just amazing. All because he made the decision not to obey what God said. You know, both of them were kings, and their decisions impacted an entire nation. You know, I told you a minute ago, we may not be kings or queens, but we do have domains. Just like a king or a queen has a domain, you and I have domains too. A domain is just anywhere that you have influence. You know, your domain can include your children, your spouse. It can include your co-workers, your friends, your church family. That was a perfect example of what Josh said about Aiden just a minute ago. You know, just him not being here tonight and getting the ball rolling on putting all the tables and chairs up. You know, that impacted everybody else here. And he's one teenager. You know, when we think we don't have an impact, we really do. People do follow us. People do notice what we do, and people do what you do. You might not see them, but somebody is learning from you, and they're living the way you live. You're their example. And when we choose to be disobedient, it don't just affect us. It always affects everyone else that we come into contact with, everybody that's within our domain, and we all have one. You know, we talk about COVID all the time, or other sicknesses all the time, but disobedience and sin are a worse disease than COVID ever thought about being. You know, not only could that ruin somebody's life here, it could also keep them from eternal life. You know, we have to think about that. What we do might ruin somebody's life here, but it also could keep them from entering into eternal life. When our own desires go against what we know in our hearts, God has said, you know, what his word says. That's where the choice is made, is when we decide to not obey what God's word says, even when we know it, and do what we want to do. James talks about that in James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. It says, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust is conceived, when we have that idea of I don't feel like going today, then it brings forth sin, which is an action. Then I don't go to church today. And when it is finished, it brings forth death. And that's the consequences we've been talking about for weeks. You know, when we think about it and then we actually do it, then that gives birth to the consequences that come from disobedience. And we think of obedience most of the time, or most people think about it, as right and wrong. You know, it's right to obey, it's wrong to disobey. But it actually goes way deeper than that. What we're really talking about is life and death. You know, we've been talking for a couple of months now about being on the path that God wants us to be on. And, you know, we talked about how Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, in verses 13 and 14, it says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. So there wasn't no middle path there. There was only two paths. There was the broad way that leads to destruction or death, or the narrow way to life. And just like Josh said Sunday, there is no different levels of sin. Sin is sin, and just like that, there is no little disobedience. There's either obedience or there's disobedience. You know, I love the way Jesus put it in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. He said, why do you call me Lord and not do the things which I say? You know, that's a really good question. You know, why do we call ourselves Christians and we want to pick and choose? I'll do this, but it'll be all right if I don't do that. And that's not what God's word says. He says we're either obedient or we're disobedient. There is no in between. So it's not right and wrong. It's life and death. And we make that choice every morning when we get up. But one of the things I want to talk about is, like I said, we want to pick and choose what we're obedient to. And I believe a lot of times we get stuck in our walk, not because we're doing something wrong, but because we're not doing the next thing or taking that next step that God showed us that we needed to take. I had to deal with this a lot myself. You know, God would put something on my heart that I knew he wanted me to deal with, but instead of doing that because I didn't want to, I would make myself busy over here doing good things, just not the things that God wanted me to do at the time. You know, I told you last week, when you don't know what to do, ask God and he'll show you. He won't show you the whole journey to the end, but he will show you the next step. But I do believe a lot of us get stuck because God has shown us the next step, and we just haven't taken that step yet. For whatever your reasons might be, I knew what my reasons were, but if you're stuck, think about it. Is there something that God laid on your heart that you haven't done yet? You know, there was a lot of times in my walk that God showed me clearly that's what he wanted me to do. One example of that would be to have the hard talks I needed to have with people, to be honest with people, to come clean with people, to confess things that I'd done. And that's not easy to do sometimes. And that's a big one. I think that holds a lot of people back from taking the next step that God has for them because they haven't taken the last step that God gave them. So we got to have those hard talks with people and tell them, you know, I'm sorry I did something, or humble yourself and ask somebody for forgiveness for something that you've done to them. Or what I think is even more important than that, we could set somebody else free from the hurt that they're carrying around by giving them forgiveness for something that they've done to you. Now, there's a lot of people that are being held down, not because God won't forgive them, but because God's people won't forgive them they feel like they're outcast. They don't feel welcome in church. They don't feel like part of the church family because we hold resentment against them. We won't allow them to come in and be forgiven the way that we have been forgiven ourselves. And that's huge. You know, that's exactly what God asked us to do in Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 32. He says, be kind to one another. Be tenderhearted. Forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. You know, when we mess up, we want people to understand why we did things. We want people to have mercy on us. We want them to forgive us. But we've got to be willing to turn around and do that for other people too. We can't say that we love God and not love each other and not forgive one another. We can't say that we love God and hold resentment and unforgiveness towards somebody that wants to be a part of God's family, but they feel unwelcome here because we won't forgive them. It talks about that in 1 John chapter 4, in verses 20 and 21. It says, if a man says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God who he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. And he's talking about what Jesus said was the greatest commandment. He said, in all, if you'll do these two things, you'll fulfill all the law and the prophets. Is love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's what he's talking about right there. So if we're not doing that, we can't really say that we love God. And now I want to pause there for a second, and I want you to know that I'm not up here telling you all this to discourage you. I want to encourage you. That's why I was telling you about Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, and King David, the man after God's own heart. You know, if they can fall short, you and I shouldn't be surprised when we do too. We all do. We all fall short. And God's not surprised when we sin. I love it in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 10. It says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him, God, we make God a liar, and his word is not in us. So if we say that we haven't sinned, then we're only deceiving ourselves and we're calling God a liar. God knows we're going to mess up. He knows we're not perfect. And we shouldn't expect ourselves to be perfect either. You know, we should expect to mess up. We're only human. You know, we're in fleshly bodies. We live in a fallen world. We're not going to get it right every time. You know, we can't beat ourselves up every time we mess up. You know, that's why it says in Proverbs, a righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets back up. You know, when you do fall, don't count yourself out or as unworthy. Just realize you're human. I'm not God. I screw up. That's where 1 John 1, 9 comes in. You know, it don't surprise God at all when we mess up. So when we come to him, you know, like a little child comes to a good father and we tell him I messed up and confess our sins to him, his word said, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But I tell you all the time that God don't ask us to do anything that we can't do. I tell you that a lot. But he does expect us to do what we know to do, what we're capable of doing. You know, when we willfully do something that we know we shouldn't do, then we will bear the consequences from that. And I believe a lot of people think that God is punishing me for something wrong that I did. God don't punish us when we mess up or when we choose to sin. The Bible says that he laid the sin of us all upon Jesus Christ. And God is a just God. He's not going to punish two people for the same sin. God can't do that. But we do bring the consequences of sin on ourselves. Jesus paid for it, but we will still deal with the consequences we bring on ourselves. But I think a lot of times, like I said, God don't expect us to do anything that we can't do, but he does expect us to do what we know to do. But I think we try to overthink being obedient to God. And Jesus says to keep it simple. He says we should have a childlike faith. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3, he says, I say unto you, except you can be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know, he's not saying that we should act like a bunch of babies, but that we should humble ourselves and see God for who he is. He's our Father, and he's good to us, and his will for me is better than my own. You know, just like kids look up to their parents when they don't know what to do, we should be the same way. We should not think more of ourselves than we ought to. We ought to look at God and say, I don't know what I'm doing. I need your guidance, and he'll give it to you. We need to trust God. And like I said, if he don't expect you to understand things that you don't understand. You know, if all you understand today about the scripture is thou shalt not kill, and God knows that, and when you decide to believe him and you get up today and because of that, you don't kill today, then God is pleased with that. And when you do that, he'll show you something else. And the next thing he shows you, you'll have to make that choice again and trust him and obey that too. God expects you to grow in your faith. He don't expect you to come to him and know it all right away. But what you do know, he expects you to be obedient to. You know, like we talked about last week, it really is step by step and choice after choice. Obedience is not hard, but it is learned. You're not going to just wake up one day, like I said, and be completely obedient to God in every area of your life. That's why it's called maturing in your faith, growing in your faith. Solomon put it this way in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. It says, the path of the just, and there's that path we've been talking about. It says, it's as a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. So each day that we follow God and we obey what we already know, you know, God will show you something else. And then you grow more and more and more every day. a really good example that I learned, you know, when I first came to the faith, this is just one of the examples I just picked. And I like to pick on myself because I don't want to pick on anybody else. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 20, you know, when I first came to the faith, I read this and it says, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if you thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. And I took that verse as, yeah, I'm going to be nice to them just so I can heap coals of fire on their head. You know, I'm going to get back at them. And that wasn't at all what God was trying to say, but that's the way I looked at it. But the more I grew in my faith, and then the Holy Spirit showed me that he's talking about, in that verse, sowing seeds of love in that relationship. And the more I studied different parts of the Bible, like Acts chapter 2 and verse 3, it's talking about that fire. And when I put those two together, I understood what it talked about. And it says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. You know, there's two kinds of fire in the Bible. The one kind that was used to destroy and condemn, you know, like Sodom and Gomorrah. God destroyed it with hellfire and brimstone. But the one we're reading about there in Acts, that's the one that brings salvation. That's talking about the Holy Spirit. So when I realized that was the fire he was talking about, then I understood what that verse meant. It meant when I show kindness to my enemy, that puts a little coal of that fire they're talking about in Acts on them, and it plants a seed. And that seed grows, and that coal will be fanned with the kindness that I'm showing them, and it'll become a fire in them. And when they see the love of God is real, and then I understand the next verse. You know, verse 21, it says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So when I'm feeding my enemy and I'm giving my enemy something to drink, it don't mean I'm heaping coals of condemnation on their head. It means that I'm planting the seed of kindness. I'm planting the love of Christ in their hearts, even though they've been mean to me. And I'm overcoming evil with good. I'm not heaping coals on their head to hurt them. I'm showing them the love of Christ, introducing them to the Holy Spirit through my actions toward them. And then when they come around and they receive Christ, then they're no longer your enemy. Now you're brothers and sisters in Christ. So my thing is, if you're having a hard time being obedient, or you're just stuck in your walk, think about what was the last thing God asked you to do. What was the last thing he asked you to be obedient to? And have you done that? You know, a lot of times when I got stuck, I would ask myself that question, and, you know, I already knew the answer. I knew he had shown me something I needed to do that I had not done. But when I would go back and do that, then I wasn't stuck anymore. But if he has asked you to do something and you haven't done it, then you'll stay stuck there until you do. You know, ask God to reveal that to you, and he will. And he'll show you that next step. And then it's back on you again to make that choice to be obedient and take it. I titled this message, I usually don't say what my message title is, but I wanted to tell you this one tonight. I titled this one, My Dad Was Right. And I'm sure King David poured into Solomon all the knowledge that God gave him, and then God himself granted Solomon great wisdom. But like we just read a while ago, the Bible tells us that in his later years, he tried everything under the sun to find happiness and satisfaction some other way, any other way than God's way. And Solomon wrote a whole book about it. There's a book in the Bible called Ecclesiastes. If you've never read the book of Ecclesiastes, what it does, he's open and honest about it. He describes all the ways that he tried to, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, fulfill himself without God. He tried everything. He tried money. He tried riches. He tried building things. He tried land. He tried women that we talked about a minute ago. He tried knowledge, trying to learn everything there was to learn, drinking and eating and partying. But in the end, he finally reached the conclusion that my dad was right. You know, David told him, if you'll just follow God, if you read through the story of David and Solomon, he tells him, if you'll do these things, God will never fail you. He will always be there for you. He will always protect you. He will always provide for you. But Solomon strayed away from that. If you've never read Ecclesiastes, I would encourage you to read that. But it says he didn't withhold anything from himself. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 10, that's what he says. He says, whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept nothing from them. I withheld not anything from my heart. Any joy from my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. But at the very end of his life is when he wrote Ecclesiastes, and it says he came to this conclusion in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And that's my prayer for you and to you, that you don't waste your whole life looking for what only God can give you. Only God can fulfill you and give you true joy and true happiness. And it really is as simple as obey what God has already shown you, and then obey the next thing God shows you. It's that simple. He don't expect you to do anything you don't know. Just do what you already know, and he'll show you the next thing. But like I do every week, I want to give you the opportunity to take that first step. If you haven't taken it already, if you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus and made him Lord, then you can't receive the Holy Spirit, and you won't have that guidance that you need to be obedient to God. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. If you're at home watching, you don't have to be in church. You don't have to be at an altar to give your heart to God. It says, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. In verse 10, it says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if today is the day that you've chosen to surrender your life to Christ, you need to let somebody know. You need to tell somebody, I've gave my life to Jesus. And in verse 13, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's nobody that's too far gone. Nobody that's too unworthy. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you've never done that, I encourage you to do that. And like I've been telling you, God will give you the next step. He'll show you what to do next. All you got to do is be obedient to him. And I want to close with this tonight. I don't think it's a coincidence. Like I said, God gave me this message 2 weeks ago. But my devotion today went right along with it. And I just want to share one little paragraph out of it with you. And then I'll dismiss this in prayer. But when I read this morning, I was like, that's exactly what we're talking about. So it says, and this is out of My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers for July 27th. It says, the way to know. The golden rule for understanding spiritually is not intellect, but obedience. If a man wants scientific knowledge, intellectual curiosity is his guide. But if he wants insight into what Jesus Christ teaches, he can only get it by obedience. If things are dark to me, then I may be sure there is something I will not do. Intellectual darkness comes through ignorance, but spiritual darkness comes because of something I do not intend to obey. So if you're stuck in your walk, you know, think about, has God told you to do something and you just haven't done it yet? Or you haven't decided in your heart that you want to do it yet? A lot of my disobedience was willful disobedience. It was something that God had told me I need to change, and I just wasn't ready to do that yet. So if that's where you're at and you do want to move forward in your walk, it really is as simple as doing the last thing God asked you to do. And when you do that, he'll tell you the next thing to do. And you just make that choice to obey him again. But that's all I've got for this week. I sure do hope that helps somebody. Let me pray for us, and we will be dismissed. Father, thank you for the message that you gave me. Lord, I just pray for everybody that heard it, that they would remember it, God. And I pray that not only would they remember it, I pray that you'd give us the courage, Father, to go forward with it and be obedient to you in the things that you show us and do the things that you ask us to do. And Lord, above all that, I pray that you would do, or that you would help us to love each other the way you commanded us to, and to truly forgive one another, Lord, and unite together in your Holy Spirit and become the church that you want us to be and the body of Christ that you want us to be. And we'll give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory for it, Father. Lord, I just pray for all the people that are sick at home and can't make it in. I just pray that you bless them right where they are. And I just pray for healing and comfort for them, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.